drug trafficking to the U.S. from countries such as Mexico has taken a toll on the daily lives of many Mexicans. The Mexican drug cartel wars took a rampant turn in 2006 when Mexican military and federal police were deployed to northern states in Mexico. Their mission, to alleviate drug violence in the northern part of the country, resulted in deadly altercations between the Mexican government and drug cartel members. The Mexican government's attempt to stop the proliferation of drug trafficking reached a peak in 2006 during Felipe Calderón's presidency. 4 years later, he told CNN in Español, "We live next to the world's largest drug consumer, and all the world wants to sell them drugs through our door and our window. And we live next to the world's largest arms seller, which is supplying the criminals." The billion-dollar industry has claimed at least 80,000 lives, not including the thousands labeled disappeared. My family and I happened to live in Mexico during the years of 2007 to 2010. At that time, and as a young girl, I did not realize the magnitude of the events that were happening around me. We lived in a rural area in the northern state of Nuevo León, a state where two cartels, Los Zetas and El Cartel del Golfo, fought for territory. One day, the small town with a population of about 14,000 people woke up to find three skinned heads on a bench right next to the town's welcoming sign. When the violence finally reached our small town, social life became very restricted. People hardly left their homes past 9 in the evening, and others were kidnapped in broad daylight. My grandma compared these times to the stories her aunts would tell her about growing up during the Mexican Revolution. She would tell us about how her aunts had to cook in silence because a thud made by rolling pins extending tortillas were thought to be gunshots by porfiristas who would show up at people's doors. I have had family members stripped of all their belongings, including cars, and left stranded in the middle of nowhere, yet grateful none of their family members were raped or assaulted. My cousins have witnessed people hanging from bridges and busy highways with posters warning about the consequences of messing with cartels. The atmosphere in Mexico during this time was tense. People could not trust anyone and walked with their eyes stuck to the ground. This fear briefly escaped my body when we came to the U.S. every other week to run errands. Anyway, the border provided security like no other. Certain instances during these times stand out more than the rest. I recall visiting an aunt in the city of Monterrey once and not being able to fall asleep because of the sound of shotguns and sirens. A typical shootout was happening in the neighborhood adjacent to hers. In 2010, my godfather, who worked in the Federal Police Department in Monterrey, was assigned to patrol a certain municipality. The following day, he and his partner were reported missing after their truck was found empty and with multiple shot wounds. 2 days later, they found the bodies. He had been decapitated and left with a poster signed by El Cartel del Golfo. An autopsy later revealed that he had been tortured. My dad's cousin suffered a similar fate. He was fatally shot while driving down a street one evening. Nobody besides his immediate family showed up to his wake or funeral. This was not uncommon at the time, since many circulating stories narrated narcos showing up to their victims' funerals. These experiences continue to impact me today. Just this winter, I visited Mexico and found myself becoming agitated when I saw convoys of soldiers, headlights in lonely roads at night, and hooded men speaking into walkie-talkies outside of gas stations. While I recognize many of the victims were killed because of motive, many innocent family members of narcos or bystanders were killed and will never get justice. It is difficult to explain the fearful, hostile environment created by these cartels to people who have become aware of drug-related violence through Netflix shows such as Narcos or El Chapo. In my opinion, these shows romanticize the live drug cartel leaders like Pablo Escobar and Joaquin Guzman Loera. They highlight lavish lifestyles, women empowered to the point where their crimes are overlooked and the victims are forgotten. An example of their appraisal happened in 2015 when American actor Sean Penn and Mexican actress Kate del Castillo interviewed the drug lord El Chapo in a secret meeting in a Mexican jungle. Drug cartel movies depict fascinating stories that are fun to see and hear when you are surrounded by the security of the U.S. borders.